say something to you this morning, all right? So before we start, I want to do something a little different. I just want to pray. Any opposers? You kind of can't really say that in church, but I just want to pray. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you that we have the privilege to come together as believers and worship together. I thank you that you're still speaking and that there's something that you want to say to us this morning. So what I ask, Father, is that you would open our hearts, open our ears, let us be receptive, that you would touch me, let me say everything that you want me to say to your people. And I thank you for the honor and privilege to stand before your people as a servant. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Family, we made it. We're in the holiday season. We're in it. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, but we're in it. And we're a few days after Thanksgiving. And we're gearing up for more family traditions, more dinners, shopping, anything that you can think of. There's going to be more of it coming up. As I get older, I'm starting to realize it's one of the busiest times of the year for me. Right? In a recent Nielsen IQ survey, 91% of consumers indicated they're planning on celebrating U.S. Thanksgiving this year. Right? So I'm not a mathematician by any stretch. So when I put these numbers in, on average, about 300 million Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. By that percentage, that's a lot of people gathering in one day specifically to give thanks. Now, this stat is funny to me. Online shoppers spent a record $5.29 billion on Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if you contributed to that. $5.29 billion on Thanksgiving. But however, this is probably the most interesting stat to me. This was done a few years ago by Wharton Healthcare. While 90% of respondents consider themselves grateful, only 52% of women and 44% of men surveyed expressed gratitude on a regular basis. So we have 300 million, 5.29 billion, but 52% and 44% of people who regularly do it practice Thanksgiving. Gratitude. So this morning, we're going to take some time and talk about thankfulness. Oh, how original, Marcus. Too bad you drove out here in the cold. We're talking. We're locking in. Here we go. Thankfulness is a prominent biblical theme. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The Bible mentions gratitude about 157 times. Here's some more scriptures about thankfulness that might be familiar to you. Psalms 107 and 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, in him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him." In our time together, we're going to focus on perhaps a familiar passage in scripture, but I believe that God wants to do something with us this morning. Do you believe that? I believe that he wants to say something. He doesn't want it just to be another Thanksgiving. So as Pastor Eric would say, with your Bible or devices, right? Meet me in Luke 17, 11 through 19. And if you do not have any device or Bible, that's okay. It's going to be on the screen. Let's read. So now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So here's a small recap. Especially if you find yourself reading through Luke, Jesus is doing ministry. He's healing people, delivering people, teaching his disciples, teaching people. He's being Jesus. And this happens quite often in the gospel that we see an unscheduled event. And what I mean by that is Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, so they weren't on his plan or to-do list. Right? So they call out to Jesus because they have leprosy. Now, family, I think we have to do some justice to find out what is leprosy. Because I think if we can find out their desperation, right, we can see why the psyche of them calling out to Jesus might be such of importance to them. So let's figure out what leprosy is. The first place we see the term leprosy is in Leviticus chapters 13 through 14. In these chapters, God is giving very, very detailed instructions on how to diagnose leprosy and what's the protocol if you have leprosy. Source states it like this. Leprosy was a scourge of the ancient world. Nothing evoked more fear, more dread, or more revulsion than the sight of these walking dead. That is what a leper was called, a walking dead man. Now, forgive me for these next few lines. If you have a weak stomach, hold it together. The smell of decaying flesh would announce his coming long before the tattered scraps of his clothing would be seen, or his raspy, unclean announcement he was required to declare could be heard. The stumbling shuffle of toeless feet, the wandering of sightless eyes, and the moan of cheekless mouth all pointed to leprosy, this unseen attacker that slowly destroyed human bodies and made the individual an untouchable to society. If that wasn't enough for you, I have another source. And they stated like this. Leprosy, although it did not kill, but neither did it seem to end. Instead, it lingered for years, causing the tissues to break down, deforming the body. I could only imagine the anxiety that people had in those times if someone had leprosy. Now, here's a trigger warning. Y'all remember March 2020? That little thing that we went through, that little inconvenience, right? Let's put some context in this, right? So I remember going to the market because that's where everyone ran once they shut everything down. Went to the market. And first of all, I have everything short of a hazmat suit on. Right, I got a bandana. Like, I didn't know I had a bandana, scarf. I'm trying to cover my face. I didn't know how to get it, where you get it from, how to return it. I did not know any of that. I just know I did not want it. And we're laughing, but listen, in the beginning, no one had a clue what was going on. So I was washing groceries that were in the bags. Right? Like, I was a little unsettled for a bit. Right? You were too. Right? So I remember that time, and I remember standing in line, and if someone coughed behind me, family, I promise, if I could have taken my neck off, put it in Lysol, put it back on, driven to the hospital and said, I got it. Oh my gosh, that time was so scary. Imagine being in those times when somebody had leprosy. There was no Jefferson Hospital. There was no Riddle. There was no CHOP. No urgent care. No UPenn. So could you imagine the fear, the anxiety? It was so bad that they had to make an announcement before they came into an area. So that's what we're dealing with here. These men were plagued with something that they had no cure for. So as the story continues, Jesus, in his mercy, gives them a command. Go show yourself to the priest. This is not a strange command. The reason why this is not a strange command, because in Leviticus, this is the protocol. But it's really interesting to me that Jesus gives a command to people that are Samaritans. And the passage says these are foreigners. So the children of God would understand, I need to go to the priest, but not necessarily Samaritans. So these gentlemen, to me, were taking a shot in the dark, petitioning Jesus to heal them. They probably heard rumblings about who Jesus was, how he was healing people. So they're taking a shot in the dark. They had to have some level of desperation to be like, hey, Jesus, I need you. And as they obeyed Jesus, they were made clean. What a beautiful story, right? Let's pray. No, y'all like, I like him. Yeah, he's quick. I like him. But listen, Valley Point, this next point made me curious. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I get curious. Can I share it with you? Just a tip, we're always going to share it with you. We're just asking you to be nice, but we're always going to share it. Scripture says only one comes back. Jesus asks, we're not all 10 cleansed? We're the other 9. And in my opinion, certainly there should have been 10 people coming back. Forget that. There should have been a whole village coming back. Because not only did it affect the 10, it affected their family members, their friends, the local marketplace. So I'm thinking there needs to be a parade coming to Jesus. And one comes back. This section revealed to me that they valued comfort above all. Because what we discovered earlier is that leprosy was a miserable disease. Incurable disease. That had shame and public humiliation attached to it. That forced them into isolation, into a lonely life. It made them untouchable. But only one comes back. And the rest didn't turn back. I believe that they were more thankful for their newfound comfort rather than being thankful for the person who made them comfortable. And you know what? The sobering reality of this is that we're not so different from these men. They cried out. They asked for deliverance, they received it, and found their comfort in the answered prayer rather than in the person who answered the prayer. Here's a thought, just one, right now. We have to be aware how we respond when God answers prayers for us. We have to be careful when we get satisfied. And I believe in America, we can chase comfort so much that the mindset of comfort leaks in, seeps in to how we interact with God. The way that these men were physically parallels how we were before Jesus. Untouchable. In isolation. And while in the Western world today, we don't see too much physical leprosy, I believe that there is spiritual leprosy. The kind that not only withdraws you from community, but also from God. The one where you can be desensitized to God's goodness, faithfulness, his promptings and will for your life. Y'all all right? Loosen up. Got tight. Right? God is saying something to us. I'm not talking down at you. I'm talking with you. Spiritual leprosy looks like this right here on the screens. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Spiritual leprosy can look like our traditions having more precedence than Jesus. It looks like building a habit of religiousness rather than pursuing the heart of Jesus. So I come to church and I check the box and my consciousness feels good. But my heart is not moved, just my body. Spiritual leprosy looks like forgetting God once you come into your assumed promised land. And family, we're not doing anything different that the children of Israel did not do. Right? I'm going to read this, right? Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Spiritual leprosy looks like I'm slowly falling apart, but I don't even notice it. And we've all been there. God, I'm on my knees. I promise this is it. I need you to make a way for me. He does it. He blesses you. We get quiet. We get comfortable. I have a question for us, and I really want you to answer this, not out loud. I want you to answer this. When is the last time you spent time with God just to say thank you? When's the last time that you said, God, I'm just before you. I don't need anything. Maybe I do need something. But you know what? The focus is going to be thankfulness for me. When the last time you did that? Or have our prayers been dominated by what we want to happen, what hasn't happened, and what we think should happen? Let's imagine how God feels about that when the only time, or most of the time, when he hears from us. And it's not that he doesn't want to hear our need. He already knows it. So I'm not saying you can't go to God for your needs. Far be it from me to say that. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the balance. But imagine how God feels when the only time he hears from us is really, I need. I'm married. I have three beautiful kids, beautiful wife, right? I love them. And I just want to give an example, right? So my kids, we're trying to train them, raise them up, say thank you, please, for the snack, right? And it does something to my heart when my kids say thank you. I don't know why it does something to me. It makes me know that they're appreciative, they're learning, they're growing. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. I'm not a builder in my house. I do not build things. I don't know if I dodged that, ducked from that. I don't know if it skipped over me, but I'm fine with that. I do not build things. That's not my ministry. My wife is great at that, all right? I feel some respect going down for me in the room. I felt it a little bit. I felt it. But listen, so I don't build things, but my wife does. But the times that I do build things, and my wife says, thank you? You can play the Home Depot theme song. I'm ready to go. Tool belt and all. I'm out there like, it's your carburetor. I think that's leaking. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm ready to go because she said, thank you. Now listen, we're laughing, but if that does that to me, and I'm certainly sure it does it to you, imagine how much more it means to God when the giver of everything, life and health, blessing and strength, you say, thank you. Imagine how much more that means saying thank you. And you know the craziest thing to me in the passage? They're foreigners. So Jesus is not even there for them. Jesus, I'm not here for you. But you called out to me. So in my mercy, I'm going to act. And I think it also shows another side of entitlement. To get a blessing, to leave and not even come back. Think back on the times where God gave us mercy and grace and blessings. I have a question. Do we have a heart that practices giving thanks, or is it comfort and event based? Are all your thank yous attached to what you have or how you feel? Because what we read earlier in Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And here's the thing. Thanking God is not because God needs your thank you. He's not sitting up there pouting. It's because you need it. What do you mean, Marcus? I need it. Thanksgiving gives you perspective. It gives you perspective. And I know for some, being thankful can be challenging, and I'm not negating that. Because being thankful sometimes requires us to go back into the past. And maybe the past hurts for you. Maybe you have some unresolved moments. The heartache of the year, the holiday season. Maybe you celebrated the holiday season with someone that wasn't here this time around. And it hurts. Maybe you had loss this year. Financial, mental peace, emotional peace. I don't know what it is. But what I can tell you is, do not let the pain of yesterday rob you of your thankfulness today. When Jesus spoke to them, one of the most interesting things to me, when he spoke to them, notice that he didn't touch them. He just gave them a command. And I want to encourage you, if you don't hear anything else today, which I hope that's not the case, because I work really hard on this. But if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to notice this. He gave them a command. And then they walked. Then they were healed. Listen to what Jesus tells you and keep walking. I know it's hard. Keep walking. I know you feel depressed. Keep walking. I know you feel the weight. Keep walking. I know you feel anxiety. Keep walking. I know you feel alone. Keep walking. You didn't imagine your life being like this. Keep walking. Maybe your life is really great. Keep walking. Maybe it's really bad. Keep walking. Because when and where Jesus speaks, there's life. So listen to what Jesus is telling you and keep walking. I'm about to wrap up. So here's some takeaways. Number one, set a consistent time to be intentionally thankful toward God. This is important. If you do not schedule it, it will not happen. Let's have a therapy session. We're not great planners as we think we are, right? So if we do not schedule it, it's not going to happen. And what we schedule indicates to me what we prioritize and what's important to us. So set a weekly reminder, maybe Sunday after church. I mean, the Eagles are on this season, so I don't know if that's going to waver your thankfulness if they win or lose, but maybe Sunday after church, maybe Wednesday, Monday, I'm not sure, but a regular, consistent practice, spiritual discipline of thankfulness. Number two, our thankfulness isn't contingent upon our circumstances. It's based on the greatness of God. This is so important to me because one thing I love about church, there's many people in the room that have different situations. So if you feel self-sufficient, that's dangerous. If you feel hopeless, that's dangerous. Your thankfulness to God is not based on what you have and what you don't have. It's based on his goodness. Number three, thankfulness is the song of the redeemed. It's our song. This is what we should be saying all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. If you struggle, if you're in a hard season, and you're trying to figure out what should I thank God for, I got some starters for you. Thank him for salvation. I don't have everything I want, God, but thank you for salvation. Thank him for healing. But this requires you to look back because healing is progressive. Thank him for making ways for you in those tough situations. Thank him for mental clarity. Thank him for peace. Thank him for purpose. Thank him for your spouse. Y'all thankful for your spouse, right? Thank him for your kids. No matter how loud they scream in the middle of the night, thank him for your kids. Thank him for the promise of new life. It's our response. It's our song. Let's pray. And before I say anything, I just want you to take a moment with your head bowed, your eyes closed, and I just want you to reflect. You know where you're at with God. This word wasn't sent on accident, so you know where you're at. So take a moment to reflect and talk to your Father because he wants to hear from you. Father, we sit in this moment as people who do not deserve anything, but yet you have given us everything by Jesus. And when we get stuck in our own world, in our own ways, pull us out of that. Let us have a heart of thanksgiving. Where it's not just seasonal. Help us to make this a regular practice in our lives. Humble us this morning. Not that we should have a reason, but show us why we should thank you for those who might be a little apprehensive. God, we thank you. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for entrusting us with the people that are around us and the gifts that we have. So in the name of Jesus, we submit this prayer to you, that we may be forever changed.